joy.
Come on.
Woo! There's so many things to say right now. I got so much on my mind. Look at what is going down. How much higher can we climb? The system that we're living in depends on poverty and greed. But people don't need charity. It's justice that we need. There's mystery there. It's surrounding you and it's worse than it's ever been.
We'll overcome.
We'll overcome the things they do. Yeah.
We're halfway there.
Halfway there because we know the truth. But living is another.
Colorful.
Sonia Polian on Colorful Radio.
Thank you.
Colorful.
Sonia Polian on Colorful Radio.
Welcome back. Now, just before the break, the top of the hour, I was telling you about our guest, and I've been telling you about her all morning. It's been all over Facebook, all over Twitter. Okay, Malika Zebulon. Now, she is a woman who has come a very, very, very long way in life. So I'm going to let her tell you her story. I don't need to give any introductions. You know, she's quite capable. She's the change agent for Empowered Lives now. So I'll let her tell you about herself. So Malachi, welcome to Colorful Radio.
Greetings, Sonia. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. Did you have a lovely Christmas?
Oh, I had a beautiful Christmas.
Yeah, what did you do?
We celebrated it with about 26 of us.
You got a big enough house, and you got a mansion.
No, mum's house. And three dining tables put together. It's
fantastic.
Beautiful.
Awesome.
Absolutely beautiful.
Good. All right, so you are our special, special guest today. And just before you go into your story, I'd just like you to tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, where you come from, a little bit about your childhood, actually.
Okay, sure. Mm-hmm. Just before I touch on that, can I just say thank you, Sonia, for having me here today, because you're touching a subject that many people would shy away from. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just a lot of respect to you for, you know, hoping that my story will encourage others to begin their own self-healing journey.
You're welcome.
Okay, so thank you.
If more women like you came out and said things, then more women or more men, and I'm not just trying to narrow this down to females, because males do suffer from domestic violence
they
as
do.
Well. Okay, if more people like you came out and shared their story, it would give hope to people, you know, and that's what they want. So, you know, this is just a platform for you, right, to share with the world. And we do have people listening in from all over the world, so that they can get on their journey to healing.
Wonderful.
So it's all down to you.
Thank you. Right, okay. Well, I'm a happy soul anyway, so I know we're talking about a very difficult subject, but mm-hmm. I'm a very happy soul. Mm-hmm. And my journey actually of abuse began from the age of 8, and I was inflicted by abuse by my mother's then boyfriend. Mm-hmm. That went
amiss. Was that physical abuse?
That was sexual abuse.
Okay.
Because we're on daytime radio, I'm not going to go into the
nitty-gritties
of everything else. Yeah. But I must start off also by saying I come from a very large and loving family. Mm-hmm. And most people think when you've been subjected to abuse, you come from a dysfunctional family. I don't.
Yeah.
You know, I literally do everything with my family and extended family, etc. Yeah. And many people who are attached to my family aren't even family, but they're family.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so many of us come from these kind of families. Yeah.
A lot of love around.
Yeah.
That's good. So how many siblings do you have?
I have, there's seven of us all together, and five I was raised with. Okay.
Okay.
And we're all really close-knit, all the seven of us. We are so close-knit.
What happened to the other two then?
Oh, they have another mum.
Oh, I see.
So,
yeah.
Okay. But we're all close-knit.
Yeah. So your mum's got five children.
My mum's got five children.
Okay.
Yeah.
And she invited the other two over to
be part
of the family.
Yeah. Nice. Oh, okay. They're beautiful.
Yeah. So in your siblings, between the seven of you, what number do you come out?
I'm number two.
Number two, so she's the second oldest.
Yes. And it's funny thing is, when you are coming from a Caribbean, and I think this probably applies to other Asian cultures as well, sometimes they have favoritisms.
Mm-hmm.
So your favoritisms are usually your eldest and your youngest.
Uh-huh.
Yeah? I know I'm touching some people out there. Okay, so because I was number two, I always felt like, you know, I was passed me over.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah, hand me downs.
And I was. Sorry, mum, but I was.
She
I don't know, actually.
Say nice things.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, I've got a beautiful mum.
Mm-hmm.
I really have. Yeah. I really, really have. She's hardworking. She's raised us on her own.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's found love in the later parts of her life, but she also had to go through abuse herself.
Wow.
You know,
mm-hmm.
And, you know, that was my dad.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, sometimes it's not that it has to be a cycle, but sometimes we're not empowered enough to break a cycle. So, you know, but if I continue about my story,
absolutely,
which is totally different to my mum's.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So at age 8, I was inflicted by abuse by a mother's then boyfriend, and she was totally unaware of this situation. Mm-hmm. To the extent that the day it actually happened, the first day it happened, she had gone to the laundrette with my brother and a sister. Mm-hmm. And she had told me to go to bed before she got back in.
Yeah.
And when she got back in, she found me out of bed. Mm-hmm. But she had no idea what had happened.
Yeah.
And I actually, back then, got beaten for being out of bed.
Wow.
Yeah, uh-huh. So that was a double infliction on me on that particular night.
Yeah.
So I was unable to say, mm-hmm. you know, what had happened and everything else. Mm-hmm. And that person continued abusing whilst he was still dating my mum.
Yeah.
So that was at age 8. At age 9, mm-hmm. I had cousin number one.
Wow.
I call mm-hmm. him cousin number one. Mm-hmm. Who, and sometimes I kind of, I have a sense of forgiveness anyway amongst all my abusers, I must say.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But I kind of allow his behavior because he was a child himself. Okay. He was a few years older than me. Mm-hmm. But what he did is he tried to do a learning his sexuality on me.
Okay. Okay.
And he got caught by his mum.
Yeah.
Now, to me, the abuse came when the mum beat him mm-hmm. and told me to say nothing.
Is it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so I had to live with that
yeah.
and not be able to share what had happened to me
yeah.
on abuse number two.
Yeah,
when, like I said, I come from a very large and loving family.
Yeah.
And back when my grandmother was alive, mm-hmm. she also fostered children. Okay. So I've got like a foster cousin. I've yeah. got an auntie who also lived with my gran, who my gran had kind of adopted, fostered,
yeah.
etc. And so as a fostering family, when we all came to stay at our gran's house, they would put me as the smallest one mm-hmm. next to a particular child who yeah. had been fostered. Mm-hmm. You can't do that nowadays. Mm-hmm. They have to have their own room.
Yeah, yeah.
And we didn't have the protections like we do now, like the Child Care Act
yeah.
and safeguarding. Mm-hmm. So when you've put now another child with someone else who's probably neglected, there's reasons why they're in care.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not everyone goes through this whilst they're in care, but there's particular reasons why this person was in care. However, whilst I slept next to her every single time, she abused me. Mm-hmm. And I'd wake up and this another girl mm-hmm. was abusing me wow. sexually. Mm-hmm. So that was up to the age of 11. She was 16.
Oh, my gosh.
So there's a big difference there. Mm-hmm. When I was 14, cousin number two mm-hmm. raped me.
Wow.
Until I was 21. So as you can see, mm-hmm. there was a whole level of lack of self-worth.
What's your personality like?
Do you know, by the age of 16, I have to go back slightly. By yes. the age of 16... even though I come from a very bubbly and lively household, and I really do, I got on so well with my siblings. We spent lots and lots of time together. However, because you're so large, you miss all the signs.
Yeah.
And most of my family, especially my gran, used to say it's because my behaviour was because I was missing my father, or she looking attention, or she's... But the other side of what they were calling looking for attention is... I was depressed a lot. Yeah. I had an eating disorder. Mm-hmm. I was smoking quite heavily. I began from when I was about 14.
Wow.
And that led from smoking cigarettes to going on to your weed
harder
and
stuff.
Harder stuff.
Yeah.
And I was suicidal. Mm-hmm. And I actually acted out suicide attempts at school.
Okay.
So there was all different reasons, mm-hmm. and they actually referred me back then to a psychologist. Mm-hmm. However, no one really picked up mm-hmm. what was really happening.
So you didn't actually, even though you had sessions with your psychologist, you never actually shared with them.
I should say psychotherapist.
A psychotherapist, yeah. Okay. You didn't actually share with them what happened to you then?
No, because I knew back then that... I would probably get into trouble for talking your business.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because yeah. I actually Caribbean. Felt like, yes, it was very Caribbean. Mm-hmm. So I actually said things to them that I think it's because I look like my aunt, that my mum, you know, there was a clash between us. And yeah. they fed that back to my mum. And my mum, again,
yeah.
told me off for chatting the business.
Oh, I see. So
So I never had the opportunity to actually share what I wanted to share. Mm-hmm. Also, cousin number two was one of the eldest in the family. So he was a favourite. I had a sense of who's going to believe me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And also, he was a charmer. Okay. So in many ways, we all went to the same school, etc. You'd get a sense of all the girls used to scream over me. They used to use me to go, could you go and take Mrs. to your cousin for me?
Yeah.
So he always had a spotlight about him.
Mm-hmm.
And it really was, because I was the, sorry to say this, but this is the term, again, Caribbean, black sheep of the family at the time, that I actually felt a sense of no one believed me.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, that was up until I was 16, and then I became homeless.
Yeah,
I actually left home, mm-hmm. and I lived on my own. So now I've left home, I've got emotional issues,
mm-hmm.
Still very depressed.
Why did you leave home?
There was loads of conflict between me and mum. It actually left on a note which was quite petty in comparison. I didn't refuse to do the washing up because it wasn't my turn.
Trying to stand your ground.
I was trying to stand my ground.
Yeah.
Right. And mum said a statement actually that she didn't think I'd carry it out on. Yeah. If you don't do the washing up by the time I get home,
get out.
And I did.
Yeah.
And I did. Yeah. But I left because, yes, I was standing my ground, but because I also decided I had enough.
Mm-hmm.
It was almost like I was living at home and the abuse wasn't stopping.
Yeah.
And no one realised I'm getting so abused. So if I leave, it won't happen.
Right. So you kind of like left because you thought it would be safer for you to be out there. But did you have a plan where you were going to go?
No.
No.
I did sofa surfing, which is probably what it's called now, which is sleeping on people's sofas.
Yeah.
However, I was so wrong.
Yeah.
Because
I
now had to try and protect myself, a young girl living on your own.
Mm-hmm.
So first of all, I went into petty relationships, not a lot, but a few relationships where, or, you know, I'd have a friend who'd turn up and see how you are and you think, okay, now go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they think they'd sit there to the end of whatever hours of the night and thinking, you know, they've got an alternative motive and I'm now having to protect myself.
Yeah.
Thinking, oh my gosh, I need them to leave. What do I do? What do I do?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if I was at home, it'd be like, your friend has to leave now.
Yes.
You know, mm-hmm. so there was an element of me having to now grow up very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I lived in by the time I finally found a place, I lived in a bedsit,
mm-hmm.
and I was the youngest in the bedsit, and they all matured up to, I remember I'm 16,
mm-hmm.
they all matured up to 40-50.
Wow.
Mixed household.
Mm-hmm.
No one ever lived there who was ever my age.
How did you find that? Did you go to the council, or did someone refer you there?
What happened is I was on a course.
Mm-hmm.
And whilst I was on this course, and it's so funny, the course was near where my grand's house used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And because I knew I took up this course and I didn't want to get caught by my family because they hadn't seen me yet,
mm-hmm.
I had to walk the back street to the course.
Yeah.
And I used to plan this journey all the time, thinking, okay, I can't hit the high street because they'll all see me.
Mm-hmm.
So I get into this course now. And a longtime friend who I grew up with was working there as an administrator.
Yeah.
So what happened from there was... my mum turned up.
Really? So she told your mum? Course.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah.
And she contacted the welfare officer who was based there, and she set up a meeting. Now, I didn't know anything about this, and I was called out of the room.
Yeah.
And she called me into the room, the welfare officer, and she says, I just need to meet with me. And when I walked in there, my mum's sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
And then my mum's quite a stocky-ish mm-hmm. woman, but she looked pale and withdrawn, mm-hmm. and I thought... oh my gosh, don't look at her.
Mm-hmm.
Plus I was frightened
mm-hmm.
as well. And I remember her saying, are you coming home?
Mm-hmm.
And I had to keep on, my head was saying, don't say yes, mm-hmm. don't say yes. Because I just didn't want to go back into that.
Yeah.
And when I said no, mm-hmm. she then left. You know, she was angry. But up until that stage, she still didn't know what happened.
Mm-hmm.
She got to know when I was about 19, and it was a Christmas event.
Mm-hmm.
Stayed at my grand's house, and one day she came round to a friend's house local to come and say something to me. She was really, really angry with me about something. And we had an argument on this doorstep, and then I walked back to my grand's house to say, you know what, I've had enough of this. I'm going to pack up and I'm going to go home. Mm-hmm. And my grandmother came out behind and echoing, you see you, you see you. By the way, we're Bayesian. You see you. And I was like, I've had enough of this. And I hadn't predicted what I was going to say next. And out of my mouth came, your boyfriend abused me.
Yeah.
And then there was this silence. Now, from that day until today, no one actually ever dealt with the issue of what happened to you. Mm-hmm. What they did for a series of the next 2 years or so was to call me a liar.
Okay, hold on. Yeah. Let's just take this short music break and we'll Wonderful. Be back. We'll be back after this. Don't go away. Keep it locked in to Colourful Radio.
Now once upon a time there was a lady. She was everything a woman should be. Things she done to me drove me crazy. Oh, life was a rap so deep, indeed. Oh Lord, and I can't deny to myself that disdain. I can't deny to myself that this time, darling, it's magic, magic. Oh, being with you, yes, that is like a fairy tale. Dreams can't come true. Oh, love is magic, magic, and being with you. Upon a time my heart was happy. Life was a melody. Oh, being with you, Lord. And knowing all the while that you loved me. Life was a rap so deep. Oh, being with you. Oh, but I can't conceive. Oh, darling, that this time you wanna live. Oh, 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 when single love is magic. Oh, springs in the air. Oh, loving is magic, magic. Got to love everywhere. Oh, baby. She like
Sonia Polian on Colourful Radio. It's Ava Brown here, and you are tuning in to Colourful Life with Sonia Polian on Colourful Radio. Welcome back. Now, I'm joined in the studio today by Malika Zebulon, okay? And she's just sharing her journey, her life's journey, from all these countless numbers of abuse that she's been through. And just before the music break, she was just about to go into, launch into, you know, her adulthood. Right, and I had to stop her there, play this track so that we can have some water and just, you know, take time. I mean, you may need to get your water. You may need to get your box of tissues out. So, Malachi, you were just about to tell us about when you spoke to your mom and, yeah, take it away.
Yeah, sure. And I'm sure I'm not very alone in this situation where you actually share a story and people doubt or cast. They look at themselves and think, yes, but how can that happen? I looked after you. I did this. I did that. I never left you with anyone. But I've got to say, abusers are manipulators. Mm-hmm. They will use any opportunity to abuse. Mm-hmm. Now, going back to the mum's boyfriend, he actually abused me there after the first occasion every single time my mum was in the house.
Really?
Every single time, sexually. Now, he was able to do this because if you look at our culture, or the dynamics between a child and an adult. Mm-hmm. If a child doesn't speak particularly correct to an adult, you'll think they're being rude. Mm-hmm. Or if they don't answer, you think they're being rude. So a lot of the times when I'm being called and I'm in the next room or the corridor and I'm not responding and going and my mum's in another room, she might say, don't let me hear your name called twice.
Wow.
And she didn't realise she's actually sending me to the abuser. You know, and he would do particular things. But I also, as a child, in my own way, in my own world, got my own way back.
Yeah.
So whenever I was told to go make a cup of tea for him.
Go on, tell me, spit.
I said nothing. I would actually, and then stir it and stand there and watch him drink it.
Yeah,
I would. So yeah, I did that as a child, and you know,
and other things.
No, that was it really. Okay. I couldn't think of anything else. I wasn't that devious. Yeah.
Okay. So he would call you. Your mum would say to you, you know, don't let me hear your name called twice.
Yeah.
But obviously she didn't know what was going on.
No.
Otherwise she would not be sending
you. No, she wouldn't.
Yeah.
No.
And this carried on for how long?
Do you know, I've never really asked my mum how long she was with him, but it felt like a couple of years.
Yeah.
So, and it overlapped with some of the other abuse that was going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I never really got the specifics of how long, whether it be 2 years, 3 years or whatever.
Yeah.
But I know it did overlap.
Mm-hmm.
You
got to 19.
I got to 19 and I burst out that, you know, your boyfriend had abused me and I was called a liar and everything else. Mm-hmm. My gran, she was a very, I felt, controlling person. Mm-hmm. So she actually manipulated sometimes the relationship between the children and the mother.
Mm-hmm.
Likewise, instead of encouraging me to come and talk and everything else, you know, she actually had a walking stick, and there's been a couple of times where she hit me with a walking stick,
mm-hmm.
you know, and called me names and the B word and everything else.
Yeah.
And funny enough, on one of those occasions, cousin number two came to my rescue.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So he was that knight in shining armor who took me away from abuse, but was really abusing me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I had these conflicting emotions about my cousin.
Yeah.
Also, just to tell you that in years to come, I had another relationship, which wasn't, you know, a childhood relationship that went on for 5.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And in that time, I actually fell pregnant and actually had an abortion.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the reasons I had the abortion as well is because I wasn't sure if it was my cousin's.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there was this element of, and he had, because he's very charismatic,
mm-hmm.
he was able to just turn up at my house unexpected, mm-hmm. and then it'd be like, oh my gosh, what do I do? What do I do? Because I actually hadn't learned the art of negotiation for many different circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
So
how old were you then?
Well, I was raped from the age of 14, but I lived at 16.
Yeah.
So I lived at mine from 16, mm-hmm. and he actually lived around the corner.
Mm-hmm. And he still used to visit you?
Yeah. Till I was 21.
For sexual purposes?
Some, not every time, mm-hmm. but a lot of the times he came and he just switched and it was.
So you were living on your own. Try and let me understand this. Yeah. So you were living on your own now, okay, and he comes around to visit you, right? How could you not say no to him then? Because now there's nobody here who could possibly...
stop it.
Yeah.
And he wasn't... If I was at home, he would never have... manipulated that. I must explain, when I was 14 and he raped me,
yeah,
it happened at a time where everyone was sleeping, mm-hmm. and it was a Christmas time, because my grandmother's house was so packed with lots of us, we had beds on the floor, mm-hmm. all over the place, mm-hmm. and you know, someone drunk like behavior got in the bed behind me,
yeah,
and that's how that rape took place. Mm-hmm. But there was this fear as I couldn't shout out. Mm-hmm. So I learnt that behaviour of not being able to shout out, not being able to say anything, mm-hmm. and being out of my depth when someone was coming on to me too strong, mm-hmm. or, you know, too controlling.
Yeah.
And that led through from childhood straight to adulthood as well. Mm-hmm. So another example, if I move forward, yeah. was two particular long-term relationships that I had. Mm-hmm. The first one, I went... actually, the relationship started as my counsellor, mm-hmm. where I shared all my issues around child abuse, everything else. Mm-hmm. Now I put this person on a pedestal, mm-hmm. and no one ever listened to me like that before, blah, 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 blah. This person actually then took the relationship into another dynamic and wanted to be my friend, and then became, wanted to be my partner. Mm-hmm. And because I had this on a pedestal, you know, I embraced the relationship. We were together for 2.5 years.
Yeah.
And at the end of those 2.5 years, due to get married, fell pregnant and realised that a lot of the things they were feeding me was not the way it was. And a lot of play mind games, mm-hmm. going on. We ended that relationship because I found out he was having an affair and I was now the bit on the side he left. We were living together for 2.5 years, mm-hmm. and he left within, it must have been like 10, 15 minutes, packed everything and wow. gone. So there was almost like this sense of, but you were my counsellor, and things started to fall into place.
So do you think he stayed with you because he was sorry for you?
I don't know the answer to that, to okay. be honest with you. Okay. But what I did, which probably surprised you in a minute when I get back to that story. Mm-hmm. So I'm now on my own with a child, mm-hmm. and I end up meeting someone a few weeks later.
Yeah.
yeah. However, I met them at some, which you shouldn't do, please. Take my advice. Mm-hmm. Don't meet anyone at a party. Mm-hmm. okay? A party is a party. Mm-hmm. That's where they stay. Mm-hmm. But that's where I met this person, is at a party. And then over a period of months of these house parties happening, etc., fostered a relationship and decided, you know, let me invite them for lunch. Mm-hmm. So 5-6 months later, they came over for lunch. And I really played up in my mind, remember I've got a child, mm-hmm. I played up in my mind that, oh, this person's warming my food while I'm dealing with my children. And, oh, that's really lovely. Oh, they're doing the washing up. Oh, that's so lovely. Mm-hmm. And I gave it more credit than it was worth.
Yeah.
And they then decided, you know, to keep on popping in to see me, etc. Mm-hmm. There was nothing real sexual or anything about that at the time. Mm-hmm. However, we were becoming one. Mm-hmm. And 3 months into this relationship, I realised this isn't for me. Mm-hmm. You know, we're so vastly different. I mean, I actually felt like, hold on, I'm on maternity leave and this person's eating out my home.
Yeah,
they ain't brought nothing with them. Mm-hmm. They just felt like heavyweight. Mm-hmm. So I decided to, you know what, we really can't be together. It's really not in my interest. That's when they switched. Mm-hmm. And as I was standing by the door thinking, you know, I've talked them out and they're going to leave now, they punched the wall, mm-hmm. where my head was. So their fist, mm-hmm. embedded its a print into the actual wall.
Wow.
That was the first violence, mm-hmm. I've ever been confronted with.
Wow.
And that put the fear of God into me as well. Mm-hmm. They then started to use the line for many years to come, because it took me 7.5 years to get out of this relationship. Mm-hmm. That God put we are together and I'm there breaking it up. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it then became they work in the studio and the level of violence started to increase. Mm-hmm. And I realized that I had this thought that the only way to get out of this relationship was actually whilst they're in studio mm-hmm. in the middle of the night or in the middle of a box, mm-hmm. you know. One of the things, I'll give you an example. I fell pregnant 5 years later. They headbutted me and then kicked me to wake me up.
What?
And that was...
So he headbutted you.
He headbutted me.
You collapsed.
I collapsed, passed out.
Passed out.
I was 5 months pregnant and he kicked me.
With his child?
With his child.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And my other child was there obviously at school at that time, mm-hmm. so he didn't witness any of those things.
Yeah.
And... It took me 2.5 years after that mm-hmm. to get out when my other child's now a bit more grown up.
Yeah.
And then I now became, after 7.5 years being with this person, mm-hmm. had just fallen pregnant with this person.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until I realised, I always crack joke on this bit, mm-hmm. and I think to myself, if I'd known it was that easy to get rid of him,
yeah.
I would have had his child many years ago.
Okay.
Right, that's my little joke.
Yeah.
However... it was at that stage where he now became disinterested in the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But not the way that ended was I'm holding his newborn child in my hand.
Mm-hmm.
He took a stepladder and swung it like it was a paperclip. And it would always just stop literally like right near my face.
Oh, my gosh.
And my knees would buckle. I remember standing there and putting a pillow, do you know the cushion on the chair?
Mm-hmm.
On the sofa, and I'd put it, resting it on, I've got the baby in my hand, and resting it on top of the yeah. baby, just in case I fell. I didn't want yeah. to squash my baby.
Oh, right, yeah.
And my other little one was eating at the table. It's the first time she's ever witnessed anything, because wow. it always happened during the night, we'd go into arguments, or when she was at school, or whatever. Yeah. So she'd never, up until that stage, mm-hmm. witnessed. And it was on that stage where now my child's witnessed, and it was like, the fear of God, I've got two children, I've got mm-hmm. to protect my children, that it was like, I need to get out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, during this 7.5 years, I went through a period of reaching out to a friend
mm-hmm.
Who actually gave me refuge in her house.
Mm-hmm.
And I also reached out to the head of service where I worked. And I worked with young people who were vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And my head of service hadn't realised I'm going through the same thing. She was mm-hmm. like, but you're so happy, you're also this. But I've also got to... re-emphasize that a lot of people going through abuse
mm-hmm. they manage to mask it.
You know, and I am naturally a happy soul,
mm-hmm.
but it's very hard to express mm-hmm. that I'm hurting or I need help.
Mm-hmm.
However, it's very easy to help others,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it got to the stage when those, it was 7.5 years later, I then had to begin my own healing journey.
So how did he leave?
I went to the police on that occasion
mm-hmm.
and he just left.
And never came back?
He never came back. And that's why I was cracking the joke about that yeah. I had the child and that was it.
Because
okay. I'd been to the police before.
Yeah.
But he then came back a month or two later and manipulated my daughter.
Yeah.
You know? Where she's now pining for him because she's never even met anyone else and mm-hmm. et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
But on that particular occasion, he left mm-hmm. and we've not been in contact since.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Have you ever seen him? Like, been
I have. And I've only met him where I've turned up at his mother and his brother's funerals,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I've seen him. Him look all...
Yeah.
Sorry, cracking joke.
All right, so tell us, time's running out, right? So tell us yes. how you started to heal yourself.
Okay, I think it was exhaustion
yeah.
that made it all happen mm-hmm. because very quickly I went back into the first relationship for 6.5 years and again went through all the mental mind games because a reason I took myself back there is mm-hmm. my daughter was missing her dad
mm-hmm.
and then
but
I
she didn't know her dad or did she?
That she had never met him
right.
so mm-hmm. getting that relationship going and then I thought
mm-hmm.
oh I had unfinished business remember I was due to marry this guy
oh yeah yeah
and then I spent 6.5 years to realise he had a double life going on
oh gosh
okay so I was a mess and exhausted by the end of that
mm-hmm.
and I realised that I now having worked with young people and women for all these years and ran workshops for them, that I now had to eat my own medicine.
Yeah,
and begin my own self-healing journey. So I did a number of things. First of all, I had to understand what my own values were. And to be able to understand your own values and what they are, what's important for you, then you'll be able to create your own boundaries. And once you have your own boundaries, you have to look, to me, it was doing a number of other things. It was looking at, who am I surrounding myself with? You know, who are those negative people that you are feeding? Who's contributing to your spirit and who's taking from your spirit? It's almost like a bank. Who deposits and who takes out? And who doesn't replace and, you know, put, you know, extra deposits in to helping you grow. And I had to either, where I could either limit those or get rid of those. And then I had to begin the journey of how I love myself. And a lot of those was about changing my mindset about many different things and creating a positive mindset and doing things that I would...
How did you create this positive mindset?
Listen to a lot of sermons, go to workshops, empowerment workshops, and start...
Louise Hay?
Yes, she's lovely.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. But also just things that will help you keep on learning. The most important thing, I think, was identifying who's your support network.
Yeah.
And I also think... There was two other elements for me. I went celibate for several years, many years actually. And that began to encourage me. Whenever I broke a celibacy, my spirit went all haywire.
Really?
It went all like, it was for me like I knew that's not where I should be. So I learned to listen to my inner self and to be still because we all have the answers. Sometimes there's just too much chaos and too much noise going on. So it was really was important to be still. It's important who and how you tell your story. Because sometimes you tell your story to someone and they're, I'm so sorry. Yes, they did this. And they like to feed back a story that keeps you where you are. And it's really important to now explain how you can do a different story. Now, I say, yes, I've been abused. I've gone through childhood abuse, domestic violence, to self-healing. That in itself is a new story. I also say
but
the story.
But you're married now.
I am.
Okay, so tell us how you met your charming husband.
Mr. Charming came into my life some years back, and we were friends. And
best friends.
And that was something that I wasn't with all my other partners. We weren't really friends.
You just thought you were.
Well, you go into lust first and then you try and turn that into friendships. But on this occasion, we were friends. And then...
All right, the other guy, you worked with him, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then we built a business together. And one day he said to me...
Sorry, which one? No, current?
The current husband. The husband. The real one. Said, the real one. he said to me... something like, if I was to ask you out, what would you say? Now, I used to have this joke that I'd say to someone. That was my get out clause. And I'd say to them, I tell you what, if you pray your end and I pray my end, all right, if it happen, all right, if it don't happen, it's because you ain't praying hard enough. And I used to crack these little jokes. And then when he went to say this to me about, will, you know, could we go on a date or could we... I went to say this joke and it wouldn't come out of my mouth.
Is it?
And I realised I also have a prayer list, which I didn't reveal to him till we actually got together and we got married, etc. But I had already identified all the different values that were important to me in a relationship.
That sounds like a love list to me, not a prayer list.
No, it was. It was a values. It was about... Family is important to me, and it was important that someone raised their children, they invested into their lives, that their relationship with their mother and their the women in their lives were positive. So that's not a love list.
I'll tell you why I call it a love list.
Okay.
After, all right, after, okay. Come on, go on.
And it was really, when I went to say that little joke about my prayer, it just wouldn't come out of my mouth. Mm-hmm. And when I reflected back, I realised, actually, I've got many different values that this person seems to be ticking, because I also wanted someone to be a friend. I wanted to have a business with someone. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I had a vision for my life, and we seemed to match on a lot of things. Uh-huh. But I also decided that I wasn't going to tell them what was on my list or show them, because I didn't want someone playing up to it.
Yeah.
So, yes.
Yeah, go on.
So, yeah, to this day.
Yeah.
He's, yes.
All right. So how long do you know your current husband before? And did, how did you just trust him? Because all the other relationships that you had, right, these men were calm, cool, collective. They'd done things for you that you'd never dream of that they'd do. But how did you know that he wasn't going to be an abuser as well? And it can't just be because, you know, the words couldn't come out of your mouth.
No, it wasn't at all.
Yeah.
He respected my celibacy.
Yeah.
To the day we were married.
Yeah.
That's when that got broken.
Okay.
Yeah. Awesome. So we were dating for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. And I was celibate to the end. Yeah. Ladies, it can happen. Men, we know. We know this is what you want as well.
All right. So what's his name? What's his name?
His name's Maurice Ellington.
Maurice Ellington. Maurice congratulations Ellington. To you, Maurice. I bet you feel like the cat that got the cream. So we've just got a couple of minutes. So now, what do you do for women?
Oh, I do a number of things. Yep. I run workshops called Learning to Let Go.
Yep. Right, Learning to Let Go. So yes. I have to stop you there. If anybody wants to get in contact with you, how do they do
that? Okay, you can either email me at pr@malakazeblon.com.
Can you spell Malika, please?
It's MalakaZebulun.com.
And your website?
Is www.malakazeblon.com.
And you're on Facebook?
I am on Facebook. Yeah. You'll find me there. You can either find it under Malika Zeblon, or you can look for Malika Ellington.
Yeah.
But my book, No More Secrets, is a lot more explicit than we've been speaking about today.
Absolutely. We've got, you know, children listening to this. It's holiday time.
So from chapter one, it will throw you.
Really? No More Secrets, and where can anybody get it?
You can get it on Amazon and most of the online bookshops, etc. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, invite me to come and speak at your groups.
Yeah.
And or come and do my book signing with you.
Right. Okay, that's it. We've run out of time here. I want to say thank you very much, Malika. And thank you, Sonia, to me, because I've got Namisha in the house, and she's going to talk about some colorful, healthy careers.
Sonia Ponian on Colorful Radio. You
Live on digital radio, colorfulradio.com, and apps. This is Colorful Radio.
Send money to Nigeria in minutes. Send from your local post office or anywhere you see the MoneyGram sign. MoneyGram, bringing you closer.
Subject to agent.